Raise your Bibles up. Raise your mobile device up, whatever you have. Raise them up and say this out loud with me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I could do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, this night, after receiving the Word of God, I will never be the same again. It'll lift me up out of darkness into the light, out of poverty into wealth, out of sickness into health, out of defeat into victory. I declare it, I decree it, and I shout about it. Hallelujah. Now turn around to five people and tell them life goes better when God is first. And you may be seated. So there was a man who was striving, to be a successful salesman, but he had only one problem. Did y'all hear about him? He had one problem. He had a speech impediment. And so he wanted to be a salesman. And then he decided to go out and started selling Bibles, door to door knocking. So he would go to the door and knock, and he says, excuse me. He says, I'm here to sell you a Bible. He says, so would you like to buy this Bible, or do you want me to read it to you? And he became the most successful Bible salesman. Turn me in your Bible tonight to the book of Psalms 133. And I want to talk about unity is the key to the supernatural. Unity is the key to the supernatural. In other words, if God is going to manifest himself, and I'm believing that God is ready and excited about what he's getting ready to do here in throughout Georgia, here in Cross Culture Church, through each and every one of you, that God wants to manifest his power and presence. How many of y'all believe that God wants to manifest his power and presence through each one of you in a greater way? I'm just going to tell you, is this going to happen? Glory to God. So look with me. In Psalm 133. Now, again, remember I told you, never let a familiar scripture be what? Familiar. Because once it gets to be familiar, you're never going to get the revelation that God has for you. Psalm 133 says, how good, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. Unity is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down into the skirts of his garments, and as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon Mount Zion, for there the Lord what? Come on, everybody. There the what? The Lord what? Commanded the what? Blessing and life forevermore. Now, we're talking about the battle against unity is because, see, God is ready to command. And he wants to command the blessings upon every one of your household, upon this ministry, upon this state, upon this nation. And so the battle is against unity because the enemy wants to fight your area of commitment to being unified or stand in unity. When we get out of unity, the blessing stops. So he says here, it flows down. So God gives the man of God a vision, as we talked about this morning, gives a vision. And then when he gives the vision now is going to take all of us to connect with that vision and get unified behind the vision. Come on, y'all. To get unified behind the vision, and the power of then that gives power to the vision and gives God the right to start the blessing flow to start coming down on your life. Can I just prophesy over y'all that I believe that this is going to be your biggest and greatest year of your life? Okay, I'm going to try it one more time, and then the ones that don't clap and get excited, just bypass them, Lord. Okay. I believe this is going to be the biggest and greatest year of your life. The biggest and greatest year of your life. And if anybody, there you go, girl, if anybody going to get blessed this year, it's going to be you. If God's going to show himself strong on the behalf of anybody this year, it's going to be you. Now, there's two things you're going to have to do, and you got to understand, and it is that I got to be able to get connected with the vision of the house. And then I got to get unified behind it with others, because how many of y'all know you got to work with people to make something happen? That's where the difficulty is. It's people. If we just didn't have no people, we wouldn't have no problems. But it's them people, you know. And so we got to work with people. And that's where the enemy wars against us from being able to work together and to be able to experience God's greater blessing that he has for us. So that's why we got to work and understand that it flows what? Down. Can I get that scripture? Is it possible? Out of the New Living Translation. Is that possible? Over here? Is this where? This the guy here? New Living Translation? Look what it says. Is that the top of it right there? Does it start right there? No, that's not where the top. Okay, there you go. How wonderful and pleasant. How what? And pleasant it is when the brethren, and how many of y'all know we can slash the sisterin in there too? When the brethren and the sisterin do what? What? Live together, and look what it says, in what? Harmony. Come on, go ahead now to the next one. For harmony is the what? Precious as the anointing oil that was poured upon Aaron's head, that what? Ran down on his beard and unto the borders of his robe. Go ahead. Harmony, look what it says again. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon, and then that fell upon the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord, what? Has what? Pronounced his what? Blessings and life. Get your hands up. I declare that the blessing is on this house. I declare the blessing is flowing up on every one of you and upon every one of your children and upon your grandchildren, that the blessing will never leave your house. The blessing will never leave your house. Shout it out. Say, the blessing will never leave my house. Shout it out louder. And it will never leave your house, and it will be a continuum flow, saith the Lord. For I am here, and I want to manifest my power and my presence upon your behalf to show you my glory and my splendor and my goodness. For I am here to manifest, and all you have to do is to reach out and stretch yourself and move from your comfortable place and to really to fight for those things that are right. And I will show you myself like you have never seen before, for my blessing has been released. So receive it by operating in unity and fighting for it, because my glory is here, saith the Lord. It is here, it is here, it is here. Hallelujah. So God wants to do some things, and he wants to manifest himself on your behalf and to show himself in a strong and big and powerful way. But the enemy is warring against us. Turn me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, look at me. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, and look with me at verse 10. And then I'm going to want this out the Amplified Bible too. 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, and look at me at verse 10. And it says, now I beseech you. Now that word beseech, you should underline that word beseech. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye what? Come on, everybody, that you what? Come on, everybody, that you what? Would you circle the word all? Can you? You can't circle it on that little gidget thing there. Huh? You can't do that. You can't. It ain't circling. Don't be messing with me. Leave me alone. Here we go, huh? And it says that ye all do what? Speak the same thing. Come on, underline in that. That you all speak the same thing. Well, we're talking about the battle for unity because we know that the blessing flows what? Down. And then God commands the blessing. And then look what it says here. And life forevermore. In other words, God's just going to start releasing life into you and causing things to happen that people wouldn't have never thought happened. But listen to me. We got to learn to all speak the same thing. That's why God will give a vision to the man of God. He'll speak it to you, and then now we got to get together in unity behind what God has given him, that then God calls the blessings to be released upon us. Are y'all with me? Can y'all stay with me on this side here? Okay, let me just talk to this side. Then y'all with me over here? Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? That's why, but the enemy doesn't want the blessing on you. More or less, he doesn't want it on this house. Because, see, the more cross-cultural church grows, the more people come whose lives are changed, the more influential the church becomes, the more powerful it becomes to this city, to this state, and to the nation. See, what God wants is hundreds of thousands of people coming here. I know some of y'all, you know, some of y'all, man, you know, I don't want that many people. Shoot, that'd be too, it's already hard enough to come here, and I got to go through all that 100,000 something people. What God wants to do is his name to be magnified. You know what? Every one of you are here because you live for him, because you love him. Y'all show down. No, I got one just right, and yay, right here. And the rest of y'all, y'all need some help right here. Cause now, none of y'all said, and I'm looking right at you, too. I said, because y'all wanted his name to be magnified. So the enemy doesn't want God's name to be magnified. He don't mind it. Listen to me. When a church is not having the impact it's supposed to, God may raise up every church to have impact, to be able to make a difference. And you know what God wants to do? He uses you to be the one to make it happen. He makes you, by your witnessing, your outreach, your running with the vision, and supporting it by unifying yourself. Watch this here, because you got to release yourself sometime, because the enemy fights so hard against unity, and because unity releases the supernatural. Just read the book of Acts, all through the book of Acts. Every time you see any supernatural things happening, it's because they came into unity, or another word for unity was one accord. I wonder how God would speak about this church here, about how is it on one accord spectrum or scale. Is it a 40% one accord or 50, 60, 30, 25? Because, see, somewhere we're on a scale of how our one accordness is, which determines what God is going to do or not do. See, you got to, come on, turn to your neighbor and tell him, you got to fight for unity. Tell him that. You got to fight for it. There is a battle going on for unity, and it is wrapped up with the vision of the man of God. Wrapped up with the vision of the man, woman of God that has run it, that God has spoken to. Now, we got to rally behind him and support them. You remember, and Moses is up on the mountain. And they're fighting the Syrian soldiers. Joshua was down there fighting them. Aaron and Hur's holding up his hands. And they had, when they let the hand down, they start losing the battle. There's the fight for the area of unity. When they have no unity, the hands are being let down. And the enemy's able to get away with some thing. So look what it says here in verse 10. Now, I beseech you. The word beseech means I beg of you, I plead of you. I beg of you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same what? And that there be no, which is circle the word no and underline division, that there be no division. No division. You know, one of the biggest problems with trying to walk in the vision and bring the people into unity is the spirit of division. You know, God gives vision to one man of God, and anything with double vision needs to be delivered, needs healing. Double vision is wrong. But sometimes people start coming in and they start seeing what God is doing through the man or woman of God, and then all of a sudden now they feel that they're called to go out and do something and start bringing some division, disunity. Come on, y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because why? He's fighting against what God wants to do. Watch this here. You need to be able to be, any of you ladies ever have a man act a little sassy with you, you know, get a little flirty with you? Okay. Hit on you and try to get you to do something that you know. Come on. Now, this lady didn't got caught up right here. She didn't got caught up. Come on, we might need to get the security to take her out of here. Get a little sassy. You know what? Some men, when they get a little aggressive with some of you ladies, listen to me, you need to slap the snot out of them. Slap them and tell them, listen, man, I'm not your old time. Come on, y'all. You don't treat me, you don't talk to me like that. Hello, y'all. You know, I was going to say ho, but I'm not going to say that. I refuse to say that. So I'm not going to. Listen to me. And somebody comes to you with the spirit of disunity, talking against your man of God, talking against the vision, telling you what we can't do or what this can't happen or this is wrong. You need to slap, slap, slap. Slap to what? You need to let them. You ain't gonna bring that mess in this house. No, you're not gonna bring that in this house. I have people come into the church, Woodrow, they come into church, and so I greet the first time attenders. And some of them, and then they come and say, Pastor Godot, I love this church. I'm going to make this my church family. I love you. And you know why I'm coming here? Because I, Pastor so-and-so, I don't like what he did, and he's this and that, and start saying something about him. You know what I said? And I don't want you either. I don't want you either. I want you to get on good. So listen, man, if he's this is a little too old for some of y'all in here, but it used to be a little proverb made up, I don't know who gave it, said if you a dog or bring a bone. I know y'all got a few little old heads in here, huh? If he bring a bone, he'll carry one. In other words, what he's saying is they'll bring some gossip, then they're going to take some with them too. So you got to be real careful. So I just tell them right off the bat, no, we don't want you here. If you're going to come here with a spirit of strife, I don't just take anybody in the church. You're going to come here with some strife, division, you're talking mad, coming in, that kind of stuff. I don't want you in my ministry because I know what, if you get here a little bit, pretty soon I'm going to be the next one on your hit list. That's right. So let's just go on and cut through the chase. Let's just get you on out of here right now since you don't know nobody. Excuse me, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more. Hit the road. Ain't y'all glad I don't know how to sing real good, huh? Huh? No, I don't want you here. I don't want anybody. I try to be a detective. I said to tell people, first timer, come in, see me. I want to talk to you because I want to detect what kind of spirit you're bringing into the church. Do you... Excuse me, I'm gonna condescend right now. Do you feel me right now? Huh? Do you understand what I'm talking about? What people bring spirits into the church that's anti-unity spirits. And so it's anti-supernatural. Because the supernatural does not function where there is strife and division and confusion and every other evil work. So we got to work on it. Look, so it says here in verse 10, the Amplified. Give me the Amplified. It says, I urge you and entreat you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all be on in perfect what? Wow, that was the most people I've had ever respond at one time since I've been here. That God is doing something already tonight. That we all be perfect in perfect what?
Harmony
and full agreement. In full agreement in what you what? Say, and that there be no what? Dissensions or what? Or what? Among you. None be among us. That's why you got to protect yourself, because people will come to you and say things to you. I was with a pastor one time, a bunch of pastors in a table, and this pastor started talking against this other pastor, and I said, no, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to sow that seed. He's not here to defend himself, and I'm not going to let you sit here and talk about him right now. The guy got mad at me. He got mad at me. But God was using me to help him to save his life, because he thought he had a right to voice. You know, you got to be very careful what you do not touch God's anointing. You got to be real careful. You think you got a right to say something, you better be careful with your big mouth, because loose lips sink your ships. Don't be pointing at me saying my ship. I ain't here. Don't be pointing your finger. Point your finger at yourself. He said, your ship. No, your ship. All right. I told you not to point your finger at me. Now, what was I saying? Loose lips sink ship? What was I saying before then? Huh? Don't touch that anointing. See, sometimes people think, we got to be real careful with the spirit of familiarity. Because the spirit of familiarity comes in the church, and we think we can start talking about people in the church or leadership, saying things that we think we want to. We can say we got a right to say it. And you know what? You're opening the door for the devourer to come in to steal, kill, and destroy you. And you open the door for other terrible things that can happen to your family. Because we just got into this country where we have a lack of honor, a lack of respect of the anointing of God upon our man and woman of God. And therefore, the enemy comes in and has been destroying good Christian families because people feel that they can just talk any kind of way they want to. Turn to somebody and shout at them and say, I'm glad he ain't talking about you no more. Say things that they think they want to say. And see, it's all fighting against the vision. It's fighting against the unity of what God wants to do in the life of the people. All we need is some people in here to start getting some supernatural breakthroughs where God manifests his power in such a way that is no denying that God did it for you. And then people will flood the doors open because of what you're doing. And you are a part of what God is going to happen in this church. Okay, I'm going to say it again. You are a part of what God is going to do in this church. Yeah. You got one of the greatest teachers and preachers in the whole world right here. But listen to me, he can be the greatest teacher and preacher in the whole world. But if you are in disunity, if you are got any disharmony in your spirit and you're not supporting the vision, you're holding back what God can do. Shame, shame, shame. I feel the love too. Amen. I feel the love. But the enemy is doing everything he can because he does not want the churches to grow. Man, listen to me. In California, it might have been Brenda, but not me. I didn't. Cannabis. Y'all know what cannabis is? I know you know, because, okay. Cannabis, cannabis, and you too, cannabis, and now California is selling cannabis. So everywhere I go, you got these big old post billboards, cannabis signs. Go here, turn here, do this, because it's legal now, and people are standing in lines to get the marijuana. And I stood against it and fought against it, you know, because it's just a gateway drug. Ask your pastor. No, I'm sorry. Okay. No, I got you mixed up with your brother. I got you mixed up with your brother. I think I better get behind the pulpit again here. Let's just get back to the Bible real quick here, okay? Let's get back to the Bible. I got to hurry up. But I urge you and entreat you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and in full agreement with what you say, and that there be no what? And that there be no what? Or what? Among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinions and in judgment. Look with me in the first chapter of Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. So where there is unity, every gift of the Spirit is functional, and we'll see the God's supernatural power move in a greater area. Where there is agreement, somebody say that. There is power. Write it down in your notes or put it in your phone. Where there is agreement, there is power. Put this down also. And the place of agreement is the place of power. Where there is agreement, there is power. And the place of agreement is the place of power. So the enemy fights against the spirit of agreement. He wars against agreement. He wars against the spirit of unity, of that brings the spirit of division and things that he can along that line. In the book of Philippians, the first chapter, and look with me in verse 27. Is that only let your conversations be as it becometh of the gospel of who? That whether I come and see you or else is absent, I may what? Hear of your affairs that ye stand what? Would you put brackets around that? That ye stand fast in one spirit. Put brackets around one. That ye stand fast in one spirit. The greatest threat to the kingdom of darkness is you fighting to be in one spirit in harmony with the vision of the house and to stay in unity with that. It is a process, and the enemy works very hard to get you out of it. So that you be in, here at verse 27, and that you be in one spirit with one what? Would you underline that? In one mind. One spirit. One mind, come on, one mind, striving together. Put brackets around that, striving together. One spirit, one mind, striving together. Now, how many of y'all have ever said this scripture before? I can do all things through Christ. Come on, how many of y'all ever said, I can do all things through Christ? Well, say it again. Who strengthened you, infuses you with his power and ability. God gives you the ability to be able to walk and strive together in unity in the area of being on one accord with one mind. Listen to me, speaking the same thing. This is something that God wants to manifest, and this is what the New Testament church had in the book of Acts. They worked together. Man, you should just try to find out, Pastor, what can I be in agreement with you about? Pastor, what can I stand in agreement with you about? What are you believing for to happen this month? What do you want to see happen where I can be in agreement? Because where there is agreement, there is and power is the place of agreement. So when you have some area of agreement or unity in the husband and wife, there's no other greater power than the agreement between a husband and wife. When you, a husband and wife, agree, all heaven moves on air, because marriage is a covenant. When you come into this ministry and you say, this is going to be my church family, I can show you in the book of Ephesians, God sees us in the same relationship as a husband and wife, that we'll be in agreement. And when we come to agreement, we release God's power to function in a bigger and greater way. Don't all y'all get excited at the same time? Did anybody understand what I'm saying? And he says, I'll show you a mystery, Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And he's talking about husband and wife and how they should treat. He's talking about and as the church. So when we as the church come together in agreement with our man or woman of God, we release the power of God to function in ways we had never seen before. How many of y'all are believing that? How many are not believing? How many of y'all know we in the last days? Oh, my God. If you don't know we're in the last days, listen to me. We need to pray for you for your sight to be opened up. Because everything you're seeing everything is going really downhill. And the enemy is working lickety-split to destroy everything that is good. That's why we got to pray for our men and women of God. And we got to get behind them and support them and hold them up because they got a great task. For God to do. And what God wants to do is to get the congregation to support and rally behind them and fight off the spirits. Come on, y'all. The spirits that war against them to keep them from accomplishing what God has them to do. All right, let me hurry up. Now, trees. I was walking up the steps and he said, trees. Anybody ever heard of redwood trees? They only in California, too, I think. But redwood trees, the roots go down 6 to 12 feet deep. And then they grow up to 350 feet tall. And they live to up to 2,000 years. But one thing is unique about the redwood trees is that they roots interlock with each other's roots. They lock in with the other tree roots, and so when the storms come, when the enemy's trying to destroy them and blow them over, they can't blow them over because all of them's roots is locked in with each other. I can't go down because I'm locked in with you, and you locked in with them, and we all tied in together. So the enemy wars against the area of you. See, that's why he said that you be perfectly joined together, speaking the same thing, being on one accord. And the same thing, the marriage or whatever the case is, the enemy wars against you from being able to succeed or to get the blessing that God has for you. But I declare that today is a new day. I said it's a new day. So look with me in your Bible to the book of Judges. Judges, the 20th chapter. Oh God, where's Judges? It ain't downtown. Judges, the 20th chapter. I want to show you something here in Judges, the 20th chapter. Can we just believe God that God's presence and his supernatural power is going to be more manifested here in cross-cultural church than ever before? And that this is the year that not only will it be manifested in this church, but it's going to be manifested in your homes. How many business people do I have here? And in your businesses, that your businesses will prosper and succeed. Look with me in Judges. I thought this was unique in Judges. Judges, the 20th chapter. Did I tell you that? Judges 20 and 1. Then all, would you circle the word all? Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered what? As what? Would you circle that? And were gathered together as one man. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it just be something that here at Cross Cultural Church and all the other churches, the people started rallying around and we all became as one man. No division, speaking the same thing on one accord, all of us working together for the common goal. And look what it says here. And just for time's sake, look with me in verse 8. And it says in verse 8. Now, you'll see the word all in verse 2. You'll see it in verse 7 also. But look in verse 8. It says, and all the people arose as what? Would you underline that? They arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go into his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. So they were voicing their opinion, their commitment to being able to stay right in there and hold the ground. Look at verse 11. Look at this is something. And it says in verse 11, and so what? So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city. And look what it says here. It didn't say in the other verses. And are knitted together as one man. Knitted together as one man. You know, I like these Discovery Channel and Animal Planet and all the different things. I see your wife talking about you too. You know, by the way, we look alike, you know. Anyway, don't tell nobody, but anyway, I like all them animal things. My wife come in the room and say, oh, there you go, Phil. I got the animals on there, whatever they doing, all the different bugs and stuff. But I was watching it one time that the penguins, they call them the big ones, tuxedo penguins, I think it is, the big ones, and they're in 40 degrees below zero. And they can't survive standing by themselves. And their survival is based upon them coming. Yeah. This is the smartest group I've been in front of all day today. And they, because their survival is not being independent. Well, I got my own way of thinking. No, when you're coming into the house, we all join together. And you know, as severe as the cold can be, as severe, not one of them end up dying because they all huddle together and drawing from each other's heat. See, if God could get his people together, like we see in the book of Judges, when they said, and they were all knitted together, they were all on one accord, they all became as one man. This ministry, wonder what could happen in this year. Wonder what could happen what could happen next year. Wonder what would happen in some of y'all's life and the gods and the miracles and the things that God would do on your behalf if we could just come together. Listen to me, the enemy comes to steal, come on y'all, kill and destroy. He comes to divide, to separate. But when we come together and we recognize, I need you. What is that song? I need you. You need me. So y'all don't know it either. So let's go. So come on, I'll get you up and let you sing it. Anyway. No. So we all are part of God's family. We need each other. And what God does is he moves on a gift. He gives a gift. A gift from God to be able to use him to minister and feed his sheep so they can grow up and that God can manifest his power on their behalf because they're out there in the world and that they could be able to impact other sheep for the kingdom. But when disunity and we don't fight the battle to keep my mouth shut, even if I don't agree, because you ain't gonna always agree with everything. But I'm not going to voice my opinion. I'm just going to trust God. That God's got his hand on my man of God. So the newspaper, they read all that little nice stuff about me in the beginning. Was anybody in here when they read that nice stuff about me? That was so sweet. But they didn't talk about all the battles I've been through. Can I just testify about a couple of them? So I got the newspaper put me on the front page of the paper. They had me like this. And it said under in big print, the devil and Dr. Godot. And they tried to put me in the same bed with the devil and attacking me. You know, when your pastor is being attacked or your church is being attacked, you gonna have to make a decision if you're going to stand with them or not stand with them, if you're going to support them in your prayer or not. And I had the news meeting. I had a young man. This is not a good story. I mean, and it's a good story, but it's not a good story, but it's a story. I was at a men's conference. I was doing a men's conference. And this kid came up to me and said, Pastor Godot, I need to talk to you. I said, well, I'm really busy, but if you really need to, he says, I really need to talk to you. He said, Pastor, he says, this pastor, which is one of your sons in the ministry, has had sex with me. And I said, that's what I said too. I said the same thing. What? Say it again, girl. What? I said, what? I was shocked. And he said he's been having sex with me, and he's underage. And he says, Pastor, I don't want you to tell my mama, because she's in the hospital because she got shot in the stomach with a shotgun, because my mama and them are in the Mexican mafia. And if she finds out, she's going to tell them, and they're going to kill the pastor. So come on, y'all, help me out. What do you do? He said, I just want you to tell him to leave me alone and not to mess with nobody else. So I called my pastor up, Dr. Price, great man of wisdom and authority and power. I told Dr. Price the whole thing. And I said, now, what do you think I should do? He says, Phil, I have no wisdom for this. I have no counsel for this. I don't know what. And I called other pastors up. By the time I'm calling them up, the boy then went and told his mama. The mama then got out of the hospital, pulling all her IVs off, and comes to the church and wants to attack me because she said he told me. Well, listen to me. I'm still trying to learn what to do. Are y'all with me? And she wants to come and attack me, and my people got to stop her out there. And then she calls the police on me. And it's just a big mess. Are y'all with me? All I'm trying to do was to fight. I'm calling other people trying to find out what to do, how to handle the thing. And then she comes, and then now it's blown out, and she's calling me all kind of names. And now the church, people in the church, starting to take decisions or make opinions of what they think. Somebody help me out right now. Do you feel what I'm talking about? They don't know everything. They just listening to one side. They didn't even know what I was doing. Then the district attorney gets on television and said, I'm taking Dr. Godot down. I'm going to destroy that church. And then all these other downs all in all the papers and all the news media, and they just attacking the brother, and I hadn't done nothing. I'm trying to find out what to do. But now my church is all divided, and people got opinions, and they're listening to what the news says. And one of my guys was sitting next to, don't be offended when I say this here, but this is what he said. He's sitting in the house, and his father's watching the Monday night football game, and then he turns around to him and says, by the way, I saw your faggot homosexual pastor on the news. Call me all kind of names. He don't know. He just heard what the news, they live on sensationalism. They're out to try to destroy, and what the enemy, when the people in the congregation will listen to what the world says, more than what the man of God says. He's been feeding you and helping you. Y'all better leave me alone right now. Delivered you, and now all of a sudden now you done forgot everything he did for you, and now you ready to voice your opinion. Everybody's attacking me. It looks bad. I went to the congregation. I said, now y'all got to listen to my side of the story. And then I told them what happened, and I was trying to find out what to do because I didn't know what to do. Listen to me. I am not the only one in here that's been in a place where you did not know what to do. I did not know what to do, and I'm trying to find out. I'm calling leaders. I know all of them around the world, calling people, trying to find out what to do.
Well, after it was all said and done, the news people, everything is this attacking me. And the reporters that's out there every day, all the different things going on. And then to come to find out. Then finally, when they decided they were going to do everything they could to take me down, they couldn't do it because they said, we can't attack him when he was trying to find out what to do. And so they never made no retractions, but they couldn't press no charges against me because I was just trying to find out what to do. I went to the pastor during the same process and asked him, did you do it? No. No, that kid is a liar. That kid just got out of juvenile facility. He was in there, and I went and checked it out, and he had just got out of juvenile. He'd been there for whatever little time, but the pastor, anyway. And so I went to find out and then went and did everything I could to try to find out information. And the pastor emphatically told me he hadn't done it. Come on, y'all. I try to believe the man of God. But now they're in court. And they're in court. And while they're in court, they're doing all this stuff. And his ex-wife walks in the courtroom and says, excuse me, Your Honor, I'd like to say something. Said, what do you want to say, ma'am? He said, who are you? I'm his ex-wife. And I want to tell you, I know that he did it because he did it to his own son. Tragic. Tragic. I'm just the man of God trying to find out what to do to be able to handle it and to be able to do it, and I get attacked viciously. And then people start making up their minds about me or start attacking me off of what I'm trying to do to make a good decision because this is a life, come on, and death situation. And I can't run to judgment to try to make a judgment call real quickly because if I do, it could have some reciprocation behind it. Please help me out right now. But these are things that happen. Unfortunately, pastors make some choices that they shouldn't make. They make decisions you might not agree with, but listen to me. He is the mouthpiece that God has given to you, or she is the mouthpiece that God has given to you, and we got to trust them. They're not perfect. You know, when I tell people, God gave me a gift to teach it, but he didn't give me a gift to live it. Now, I've been married to this lady right here for 45 years, and I only had one woman in my life, just this one right here. And you know what? She still looked good to the brother. Come on, man, say something. Amen. She still look. I looked at her tonight. I just said, dang. Dang, huh? Yeah, you know. Finish the sermon? Okay. Hey, sir, would you come over and sit next to him, please? So unity. You know, unity. Come on, somebody say unity. You ever watch those sports where they get in the boat and they have maybe about 6, 7, 8, 9 men and they, come on up here. Come on up. Turn around. I guess this way. Okay, come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about? So what we're doing is we're going to row together. You know what happened? When we're not rowing together, we're not going to go anywhere. Are you with me? We go around. Thank you. Now, all right, you're starting to get a little groove on that one there. Yeah. You know, black people, they got to have a little groove in whatever they do. I was in a boat fishing, and me and the guy, we had fished, and it was dark, and we were in the ocean fishing, and the tide was going out, so it was pulling the boat out. So he said, we better pull the anchor in. He said, we need to go. So we started gathering all our fish up and pulling everything in, and then we started trying to roll towards the shore. And he hollered at me. He said, you're not rowing hard enough. And I said, no, you're not rowing hard enough. He said, come on, we got to roll together. We got to get there. It's taking us out, and we don't want to get sucked out there into the ocean in this little boat. And he's rowing, hurl harder. And we're rowing harder and harder, and now we're hollering at each other. And you know what happened? We didn't even realize it, but you said it here a minute ago. You know what happened? We were just going around. We're in the dark, but really we were just going around in a circle. We're going around in a circle. And then finally, with our lightning fast mind, we finally figured out we never pulled the anchor up. And it didn't no matter how it is. You know, when the anchor is out is when we allow distension and clamor and we allow ourselves to feel like we got a voice to say something and to put our opinion and start attacking the anointing on the gift and the man or woman of God. And then our whole life starts going around in a circle. And God's not able to take you where he wants to take you because you feel like you got a right to be able to voice your opinion. I don't care what nobody else said. I'm going to say what I want to say. No, you stupid. And you're stuck on it. Until you get out of that area, your life is just going to go in a circle. And you're always going to be wondering why things are not happening for you. Because you got to understand you're supposed to be a part of the rowing team. And you're supposed to row together. Brother Hagin was in a meeting, and he was doing a healing service. And Brother Hagin was going down and ministering to the people, laying hands. And then he says to this one couple, he says, I see both of y'all in a boat. He says, but you both are rowing in two different directions. And your marriage is in trouble because you're rowing one way, sir, and your wife is rowing another way. How many know you're not going anywhere? See, what God wants the marriages, husband and wife, to row in the same direction. Anytime the enemy can bring division, anytime he can get us not to speak the same thing, be on one accord, going and causing ourselves to go in the same thing, he is going to do everything he can to hinder your marriage, hinder your business, hinder your ministry, but I declare in Jesus' name that he's not going to do it in this house. And I declare he's not going to do it in your house. Come on, in your house, in your businesses, in the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of the supernatural power of God is going to manifest more in this ministry. We will see more signs and wonders and miracles in this house. Come on, y'all. And in your house also, and that the glory of God and the goodness of God will be seen like you've never seen it before. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive the glory. We receive the power. We receive your honor. We recognize you. We will fight for unity. We come against the spirit of disharmony, disunity. We come against the spirit of strife and division and confusion in this church, in our families, in our lives, in our businesses, in the name of Jesus. We declare the peace of God. Get your hands up. I speak the shalom of God over your lives. Come on, receive that. I say shalom to you. The peace of God be upon you. Nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness, nothing needed or nothing wanted in your life, but abundant supply, the blessing upon your lives in every area in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. The blessing on your lives because we walk in unity. We're on one accord. We're speaking the same thing in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout that out right now. Thank you for it now, Father. For I am here, saith the Lord, and I am here as a strong tower to manifest my glory and my power. Don't hold me back, but let me come forth in a big way on your behalf. So don't be, allow yourself to doubt and wonder, but believe me. Believe my prophet, and so shall you prosper. Believe the word of God, and so shall you see the glory of me in your life. For I am here to bring a great shout and a great joy and a great life, a great victory in your life. So don't hold back. Go ahead now and shout and rejoice. For your victory is already here, saith God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. She, my Bada, thank you for it now, Father God. Hallelujah to God. Sakamanda be de be. Those that have been dealing with a broken heart,